Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Grey Leopard Code with Gary Norris Gray. Gary will be coming to you each Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking sports live on GLC.
blackathlete.com.
Looking for the definitive source for information? Blackathlete.com, that's where it's at. From Jackie Robinson, Muhammad Ali, to Michael Jordan and Shaq, football, basketball, baseball, and everything in between. We focus on all the major players and stories, daily features, video on demand, and Black Athlete newspapers coming to a city near you. Tired of the same old sports programming? Check out blackathlete.com. Sports the way you like it.
Thank you for listening to the Famous Brown Radio Show. We know you're listening, but we're listening too. And we want to hear exactly what's on your mind. So Famous Brown is doing Tell It Like It Is. Sometime during the 7 to 9 p.m. Saturday Night Radio Show. Call 804-788-0990. 804-788-0990. And you tell it like it is on the Famous Brown Radio Show.
Gotta get that graphic though. Welcome to the GLC Grandma Cole, and we're gonna get into the music box hour. As soon as we get this thing to drink, we're gonna get into the music box hour. Friday night, sending condolences to my family and friends in Japan. As a remember the Prime Minister Abe. We send our prayers to the country of Japan. Moving on. The Carolina Panthers is already talking about Baker Mayfield. And it's going to be an interesting year for the Black and Blue in 22. Next week will be the MLB All-Star Game. And folks, it's no hell. Shohei Ohtani, if he played for the New York Mets, the Los Angeles Angels, the New York Yankees, the Chicago Cubs, he would be a national icon right now. What he's doing is outrageous. With strikeouts and home runs. Striking out the side and coming to the plate at a DH, hitting home runs. Mookie Betts for the Dodgers will be the star for the All-Star game. You get to see the complete lineup tomorrow night. Russia, Korea, Kovachev cannot enter the U.S. as relationships continue to fall. Mainly baseball, the New York Yankees continue their outdoor pace, winning their 61st game last night. Being the Red Sox and the American League East, the Yankees lead by 15 games over Tampa Bay Rays, Toronto Blue Jays, above the Red Sox. The Astros lead the American League West as the A's played in the past week. They lead the West by 12 games over the Seattle Mariners. The only race in the American League is the Central, with the Milwaukee Minnesota Twins leading the Cleveland Guardians and the Chicago White Sox, who are making it close in the American League. Now, I don't know about you guys, but the Cleveland Guardians, I like that name. I like what they're doing. I like the new uniforms, the same as the old uniforms. Only the name is different now. We can work on the Washington Football Club. That's a whole different story. In the National League, the New or closing on your meds. Moment you need to be in the blood, what with the wild card. In the central, it's been Milwaukee against St. Louis, meeting up on each other, and what the loser will go home. The winner will go into the playoffs. In the West, it's a SoCal party with the LA Dodgers and San Diego Padres. This will go down to the wire as the Padres will begin to get their mojo back. And with their... here's the crazy part, okay? The San Diego Padres last year did not make the playoffs. They get the manager from Kansas, the Oakland A's, and now, the San Diego Padres get the manager from the San Francisco Giants. I ain't making tickets out of chicken soup. And I said, the Yankees win their first game, meeting the Red Sox on a big error. They beat it. Red Sox error outfield to a spot. With undefeated Castro on the mound. Cooper's over, beat the Mets. The Mets beat the Fish 5-2. And Astros hammered A's again, being 28 games out of first place with an 8-3 victory and 2 more homers. San Diego beat the Giants last night with those silly uniforms. Manny Machado was putting a 3-run home run, and that was the end of the game right there. The Dodgers keep on trucking as they beat the Cubs 4-3. With Mookie Betts and Lamb dying away with homers. Big Blue on the roll. WNBA, Sunday is the All-Star Game. Steve Stewart against Steve Wilson with the skills contest this afternoon. As we stand at the break, the top four teams are the Chicago Sky, Las Vegas Aces, Seattle Storm, and Connecticut Sun, who lead the league at the break. WTA, the end of Wimbledon. This week, this morning, Rabina beat Jabbar, the first Muslim lady in the finals. Tomorrow, it'll be Kyrgios against Djokovic. Djokovic should win tomorrow. Tringo leads Woodward by 4 strokes in the tournament today. Formula One, the Australia Open, the Grand Prix of the morning, and qualifying
skies where the eagle flies, the coyote calls and the waterfalls. Listen to the wind and then begin to feel within the wisdom and the vision of American Indians. Listen to the skies where the eagle flies, the coyote calls and the waterfalls. Listen to the wind and then begin to feel within the wisdom and the vision of American Indians. Before the Europeans settled these American lands, the people already lived here. Do you understand? They roam the beautiful woodlands and mountains and sands that span thousands of years, and their legend still stands. Way back in the Ice Age when glaciers froze, they crossed into Alaska, that's how the story goes. The tribes of the Northeast skillfully used bark from birch trees to build big canoes. Surviving from gifts within the lakes and land, using stairs to fish and planting corn by hand. Iroquois to Delaware, Hopewell to Fox, just a few tribes from a region with lots. Down in the southeast with luscious and fertile soil, tribes learn to farm out in the sun they toil. It's like the complex societies with rulers so royal. There were builders and artisans and knowledge of medicine. The Seminoles were proud, the natives played the frost. There was the Creek, Chaco, Cherokee, and Chickasaw. The Crow, Blackfeet, and Dakota home on the range. Nomadic tribes that roam the Great Plains. In order to survive, they hunted the buffalo, shot stone tipped arrows at a distance with the bow. From buffalo skins, they made teepees and canopies. They tribe warriors to protect from enemies.
These are the skies where the eagle flies, the coyote calls, and the waterfalls. Listen to the wind and then begin to feel within the wisdom and the vision of American Indians. These are the skies where the eagle flies, the coyote calls, and the waterfalls. Listen to the wind and then begin to feel within the wisdom and the vision of American Indians.
In the southwest were clay homes known as Pueblos. The Zuni and the Hopi were the tribes who made those. They dressed in big masks and dancing for forms, asking spirits called Kachinas for a harvest of corn. For beautifully woven patterns, we looked at the Navajo. Apaches had the brave warrior Geronimo.
From the high plateau down through the Great Basin, tribes like the Ute survived through migration. Preparing for cold winters, some were found building earth-covered houses that were parked underground. Horses and bones, skins and hemp were traded with tribes from the plains for roads that parade.
To the rainy northwest where the totem pole stood, these were memorials to ancestors carved out of wood. Wealthy families had ways to show signs of success, hosting lavish potlatches, giving gifts to their guests. They hunted large sea animals with nets and harpoons, and lived in long houses which had one long room.
Over time, Europeans moved into tribal regions. Sometimes they fought war, sometimes they formed allegiance. The dark clouds rained down upon the trail of tears. Tribes were forced west from where they lived for years. This song is a tribute to just reflect upon. Today, American Indians continue on.
These are the skies where the eagle flies, the coyote calls, and the waterfalls. Listen to the wind and then begin to feel within the wisdom and the vision of American Indians. Listen to the skies where the eagle flies, the coyote calls, and the waterfalls. Listen to the wind and then begin to feel within the wisdom and the vision of American Indians.
Title game. You'll be right. Get the edit. like nobody wants KD or Kyrie, but now, and no, the Golden State Warriors do not want KD. Okay, let me tell you this. They give up four guys for KD and draft choice for a 34, 35-year-old man. No. Carl Sachs wins the Grand Prix last week as a big crash in the first round was Zhou out, the only Chinese racer in the race. No injuries, thank goodness. Besides Perez, Hamilton are 2.1 seconds apart at the British Grand Prix. Hamilton breaks the record for 13 straight podium appearances in England. 4th of July, another mass shooting. Time at the parade. This guy gunned down Americans from the rooftop. Killing 6, wounding 12. White Sox hold a memorial above a sign and kept their fireworks all over the Chicagoland area. Festivals were canceled. Dodgers were Angel pitchers. Angel pitching coach because the first interim manager and the first two managers get suspended after a brawl with the Seattle Mariners. We won't go through that. San Jose Sharks, congratulations. The first black general manager is San Jose Sharks. Greer, who was assistant for the New Jersey Devils. The brother of Greer of the Miami Dolphins, who is also a general manager. The NBA Lions Club are in session. Now they're talking about Westbrook Irving trade. Good luck with that. And Wednesday morning, four people injured in Oakland, and the fireworks show for stray bullets. Oakland Police Department will continue to investigate and arrest people or persons using a firearm. And this could happen a mile away. In the World Cup games, Zurabat, who is a woman, Banda, who is a woman from Zambia, will be ruled out of the game because of gender verification test, meaning she was a man first and became a woman. Wednesday, Winsegger becomes Toronto Maple Leafs assistant GM, the first female in that position. Congratulations. And my buddy, Reggie L, will say, Shots fired. And Baker Mayfield goes to the Carolina Panthers for a fifth round draft pick. On Thursday, MLB Commissioner Honor Albert Pujols and Mickey Rivera Brittany Griner's doing jail. Brittany Griner pleads guilty to alleged drug charges in Russia. Now the game begins. Now the political negotiations begin. Sandra Douglas Morgan becomes the new team president of Las Vegas Raiders, the first black president in the National Football League. Ralphie Nadal withdraws from Wimbledon with severe stomach injury and will not be in the championship. Megan Rapinoe and Simone Biles gave the President the Medal of Freedom in the White House. Congratulations, ladies. Job well done. United States women's soccer team qualifies for the 2023 World Cup. Congratulations. I hope you kick butt again and bring home the gold to the United States. Friday, Blazers Leonard again, World's Way to a Million. James Harden turns down $15 million to stay in Philadelphia. And the Carolina Hurricanes trade the Angelo to Philly for draft picks. Now, I want to talk about the January 6th hearings. And this is worse than Watergate. This is much worse than Watergate. Watergate, President Nixon resigned. President Nixon had respect for the country, had respect for the people, had respect for the consequences. President Donald John Trump did not respect anything. It's all about Donald John Trump. And the more the hearings proceed, the more comes out. I'm going to play a clip here about the hearing. It is amazing.
The January 6th hearings have provided a mountain of new evidence about the relentless, all-encompassing plan by Donald Trump and his cronies to overturn the 2020 election. But maybe the biggest revelation so far has been the degree to which the people involved in the scheme all had criminal intent and knew what they were doing was against the law. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. Look, I'm not especially hopeful that the January 6th hearings are going to magically change the minds of any hardcore Trump fans in the Republican Party. I mean, I hope they do, but we've been through a seven-year-long onslaught of Trump scandals, including two impeachments, a violent coup, and a sex scandal in which he paid hush money during a presidential campaign to cover up an affair with a porn star and lied about it up until the point where the actual check he personally wrote to make the payment surfaced with his signature on it. And the way you know that's Donald Trump's signature is that he looks like he signed it with a giant Sharpie while he was whitewater rafting. Remember that whole thing? Looking back now, I have to say, I always imagined hush money would be paid in a more covert way than writing and signing a check. That was more like yell money. I just assumed from movies it would be an envelope full of unmarked bills passed between parked cars down at the docks. I never would have imagined Trump sitting down to balance his check but going through all the hush money payments. All right, let's see, $150 for the cable bill. That's fair. I watch a lot of cable. $300 for groceries. Eat a lot of groceries. Let's see, $130,000 to adult film star to cover up sex scandal. More than fair as well. Mel? Mel, honey, do you have any hush money payments you need me to make? No, because I'm doing the bill, and if you have hush money, I'd love to... Why? Because I don't want to pay late fees. Mel, I don't want to be the only frugal one in this relationship, Mel. None of that really seemed to move the needle with Republicans, so I'm not optimistic the January 6th hearings are going to seriously influence the GOP, but I am hopeful the hearings will influence prosecutors in the Justice Department, because one area where these hearings have been shockingly successful has been establishing criminal intent and a consciousness of guilt among Trump and his gang of pro-coup weirdos as they were planning and orchestrating the coup. Take disgraced former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn, who participated in discussions where, among other things, he pushed Trump to use the military to seize voting machines. Flynn invoked the Fifth Amendment during a series of what you would think would be pretty straightforward questions for any non-fascist.
Do you believe the violence on January 6th was justified morally?
Take the Fifth.
You believe the violence on January 6th was justified legally?
Fifth.
General Flynn, do you believe in the peaceful transition of power in the United States of America?
The Fifth.
You're pleading the Fifth over a hypothetical that has nothing to do with the law? The Fifth Amendment doesn't work like that. It's not Family Feud. It doesn't say you have the right to pass after you buzz in. It protects you from self-incrimination. And look, I'm generally very opposed to drawing in conclusions about someone's guilt just because they plead the Fifth. It's a constitutional right, and it's in there for a reason. These are just benign hypotheticals. This is like if your spouse said, how do you feel about monogamy? And your answer was, I'm invoking my Fifth Amendment right not to answer any questions about your sister. It's not going to end the conversation. That's how aware these guys were that they were in legal trouble. They wouldn't even answer questions about whether they believe in the peaceful transfer of power. In fact, at almost every turn, key White House officials made it very clear that they knew they were in significant legal jeopardy. For example, on Tuesday, former Trump White House official Cassidy Hutchinson recounted in a damning comment from Trump's White House counsel, Pat Cipollone, after he found out that Trump wanted to go to the Capitol himself and lead the armed mob in overthrowing the election results.
We understand, Ms. Hutchinson, that you also spoke to Mr. Cipollone on the morning of the 6th as you were about to go to the rally on the Ellipse. And Mr. Cipollone said something to you like, make sure the movement to the Capitol does not happen. Is that correct?
That's correct. I saw Mr. Cipollone right before I walked out onto West Exec that morning. And Mr. Cipollone said something to the effect of, please make sure we don't go up to the Capitol, Cassidy. Keep in touch with me. We're going to get charged with every crime imaginable if we make that movement happen.
And do you remember which crimes Mr. Cipollone was concerned with?
In the days leading up to the 6th, we had conversations about potentially obstructing justice or defrauding the electoral count.
It's amazing. We're going to get charged with every crime imaginable. It's truly mind-boggling to me that none of these guys are in jail yet when they themselves were expecting to end up in jail. Merrick Garland's still poring over transcripts looking for a smoking gun. Meanwhile, on January 6th, Trump aides were all on Pinterest searching for ways to accessorize your orange jumpsuit. Oh, cool. It says you can bedazzle your handcuffs. And crucially, that comment from Cipollone was not just a one-time freakout on January 6th. As Hutchinson made clear in that clip, there were conversations even before January 6th about the likelihood that Trump aides were committing, among other crimes, obstruction of justice or defrauding the electoral count. Think about that. They even named the specific laws they were breaking. They literally laid out a blueprint for prosecutors to arrest them. I mean, how much easier can you make it? This is like if on every page Waldo was holding up a giant sign that said, I'm right here, you idiot. And that was not the only time a White House lawyer warned Trump cronies that they were breaking the law. For example, there was also Eric Hirschman, whose job, it seems like, was basically to tell everyone in the Trump White House they were constantly breaking the law. Now, you might remember Hirschman from previous hearings as the guy who has a baseball bat with the word justice written on it hanging on his wall. I like that it's not mounted on wood or in a glass case or anything. It's just right there on hooks at grabbing height. I'll bet when people got their lunches out of the office fridge at his firm, they triple-checked they had the bag right. Hirschman was in a meeting with another key figure in the attempted coup, Justice Department official Jeffrey Clark. Clark wanted Trump to make him attorney general after the election so that as attorney general, Clark could declare without evidence that there was fraud in the election and then overturn the results. And Hirschman had very blunt words for Clark when he found out about Clark's plan.
When he finished discussing what he planned on doing, I said, good, a-hole. Congratulations, you just admitted a first step or act you take as attorney general would be committing a felony.
I like that the guy has enough decorum not to curse in a deposition, but still keeps a baseball bat in the frame just to keep everyone on edge. I wish it could have been a fly on the wall for all his conversations in the White House. If you break the law, I'm going to use this baseball bat and beat the living out of you. Sorry, the living F out of you. Please. Please excuse my horrible manners, you dumb piece of But yet again, we have a Trump White House official making it plain as day that the people planning the coup knew they were breaking the law when they were doing it. For example, we also know from testimony given by a former aide to Mike Pence that John Eastman, the pro-coup lawyer who wrote the memo detailing how Pence was supposed to overturn the results on January 6th, also knew his plan was illegal. Eastman admitted in the Oval Office in front of Trump that his plan would violate the Electoral Count Act. And after the whole thing descended into violence and chaos on the 6th, Hirschman, the baseball bat guy, again offered a very stark warning to Eastman.
It was the day after. Eastman, I don't remember why he called me, and he texted me or called me, wanted to talk with me, and he said he couldn't reach others. And he started to ask me about something dealing with Georgia and preserving something potentially for appeal. And I said to him, are you out of your effing mind? Right? I said, I only want to hear two words coming out of your mouth for now on. Orderly transition. And he screamed and said, I don't want to hear any other effing words coming out of your mouth no matter what, other than orderly transition. Repeat those words to me. And I screamed
that.
Eventually he said, orderly transition. I said, good, John. Now I'm going to give you the best free legal advice you're ever getting in your life. Get a great effing criminal defense lawyer. You're going to need it. And then I hung up on him.
Man, where did this guy get his law degree? Does Yale Law School have a building on campus called the Pauli Walnuts Memorial Law Library? The only problem with that library, it's great, but as soon as you learn something there, you forget about it. And as we've also discovered from these hearings, Trump's cronies had such a clear consciousness of guilt that a lot of them were asking for preemptive pardons. They knew they could be prosecuted, and they wanted Trump to get them off the hook before that happened.
Were you involved in or did you witness any conversations about the possibility of a blanket pardon for everyone involved in January 6th?
I have heard that mentioned, yeah.
Dr. Eastman emailed Rudy Giuliani and requested that he be included on a list of potential recipients of a presidential pardon.
And are you aware of any members of not receiving pardons?
Mr. Gates and Mr. Brooks, Mr. Gates was personally pushing for a pardon, and he was doing so since early December.
Did Rudy Giuliani ever suggest that he was interested in receiving a presidential pardon related to January 6th?
He did.
Ms. Hutchison, did White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows ever indicate that he was interested in receiving a presidential pardon related to January 6th?
Mr. Meadows did seek that pardon, yes, ma'am.
How do you know that Congressman Gates asked for a pardon?
He told me.
Tell us about that.
He told me he'd asked Meadows for a pardon.
At this point, it's easier to ask who wasn't looking for a pardon. Mr. President, here's a list of the people who want pardons. Mark Meadows, Rudy Giuliani, Matt Gaetz, John Eastman, the White House chef, the janitor, and that kid who mowed the lawn. Do you remember him? Yeah, he needs a pardon. I guess he maybe stole that lawnmower. I also love the fact that Matt Gaetz was just going around telling people he asked for a pardon like it was cool and not incriminating. Although Gaetz does seem like a guy who doesn't know what he says makes him look bad. Hey, Jeff was saying cold water makes his ween look small, but I was like, dude, mine looks small no matter what temperature the water is. Am I right? Am I right? Hirschman, am I right? Shut the f*** up. Shut the F up. These hearings have sent a clear message to prosecutors in the Justice Department. Not only is there sufficient evidence to charge Trump and his cronies with multiple crimes, there's also sufficient evidence that they were aware they were potentially committing crimes at the time that they were orchestrating the attempted coup. If you are, say, a Republican or Trump supporter watching these hearings and you come to the conclusion that everything these guys did was legal and above board, then I'm sorry, you're a...
Excuse me, sorry, a-hole.
This has been A Closer Look. God's Love We Deliver cooks and brings over 2 million meals a year.
And there you go. You have people in the White House who knew what they were doing, and they did anyway. These people knew they were doing illegal acts. They did anyway. Why? Because they could. This is where we are, is I think. This is where we're going. I'm telling you, God bless us. Because this is worse than working. I said it before, I'll say it again. It's worse than working because of this. Richard Nixon only involved Richard Nixon. Nobody else but Richard Nixon. That's all he involved in. This is worse because it involves people in Georgia, and people involved in Texas, people involved in Michigan, people involved in Pennsylvania, Arizona. See, this is much worse because other people were doing illegal acts. If we don't get this straight this time, God bless us. Because what you're doing is you're condoning criminals. You are condoning the act of being a criminal. Oh, if you're black, you can't do that. If you're white, I can do anything with you. Stop it. Donald J. Trump needs to go to jail. Do not go past go. Do not collect $100. Go directly to jail. No, Michael in the house?
Yes, sir.
Michael? My blood pressure is up. I can't do this. The reason why I say this is because everybody knows this is wrong.
Mm-hmm. Everybody knows. Of course everybody knows. And if I heard you right as I was coming in, you were talking about the so-called electors in the other states who were going to endorse Trump for president. Now, firstly, they all should be in jail. They all should be doing major crime. They all should be convicted for fraud. The same thing that they said was the reason he lost the election, the asses should all be in jail for fraud. You know, white people never understand the level of punishment because they think it's beneath them. That's what they think is the advantage in being white. They can dictate what the hell they want and say what the hell they want, but black people and other folks have to do otherwise. So, yes,
Michael,
all belong in jail.
I read this morning. That candidates running for Republican parties all over the country,
yep,
are now outing this nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Now, America, Graham McComb is going to give you a little advice.
Yes.
If a Republican candidate says anything about Donald J. Trump and the corruption of the election,
mm-hmm,
you have been sworn to be not to vote for him or her.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because they're not, look, Marjorie Taylor Greene, don't get me started, Taylor Greene had no business being representative of Georgia. None. I'm smarter than I got a degree. I was a school graduate. I am no moron. Marcia mm-hmm. is a moron.
Yeah, well, she's a moron. That's part of what the expression back when I was a kid and you were a kid was privileged character. These people think they are. They think they're privileged characters and they can do what the hell that they want. You know, we already know this Marcia Taylor Greene doesn't deserve or isn't qualified to run and be a member of Congress, but she is. And sadly, there's a whole lot of other folks that are coming up who have been enabled by Trump's ass to believe they can do what they want if they have the right thing behind them. Here in Pennsylvania, not far from me, there's one asshole who has already said straight up that the election was a fraud. Now, he's running for office. And one of his beliefs is straight up, the election was rigged, then Trump lost the election. Now he's running against some guy, Shapiro, the Democrat, who, of course, doesn't think that. But the fact is, he got in because there are a lot of assholes like him who believed that Trump was screwed out the election. So this,
My thing is this. I'm a history major, so folks, I want you to pay attention. When you tell a lie, and this is a big lie, when you tell a lie, and you keep repeating that lie over and over again, that lie becomes true and true as it goes on.
Yeah.
Now, the Third Reich of Germany learned a lesson. The Third Reich of Germany learned the hard way. They lost millions and millions of people. And the whole country was blew apart by war.
Gentlemen,
boys and girls, if you don't stop this movement, guess what? We will have foreign troops who have never been in the United States in this country. You don't believe me? Keep on fooling around.
Well, you don't need to follow the nonsense from the Third Reich. You know, there's movies like Judgment at Nuremberg where they all get busted and they say, well, I was just following orders. And we know that there are dystopian books like Handmaid's Tale and Brave New World Revisited and anything that George Orwell wrote that go along this line as well. You know, I'm going to agree with my brother Tony McLean and be in the barbershop. And I'm going to be the guy in the barbershop that says, these mofos know exactly what the hell they're doing. And it would all be better for everybody if we just threw their collective asses in jail. And anybody else who thinks like this, your ass goes to jail too.
Thank you. I'm going to end it right there with this political book. You know, Michael, I have never seen this nonsense in my life. And see, I'm a very calm man.
You are.
When you cross my line of sensibility, we got a problem. And right now, the American political system is caused by sensibility. I'm writing an article right now.
It's pretty good, too. I found the first draft.
About the Constitution. The reason why I wrote it is because a clown on Facebook said some ridiculous stuff about black okay. You are Edgar Morton. So I read the Constitution and said, now we're going to work. Now we're going to tell you exactly what you're talking about.
But see, people like that, they already know. And because they already know, it's like you're talking to the wall. Unfortunately, I understand what you're saying, G. I believe that your passion will stir and generate action that will lead us to a better understanding by your article. But, you know, these woke folks will close this off for a long time.
Yeah.
The angle that we always talk about that we never discuss full bore is the fact that it is now 2022. In another 10 years, if we're still around, the country and the world will be a lot darker. And the ratio of white folks around the world will have diminished significantly. We're now to start to get nervous and say, oh, wait a minute. What do we do about this? You don't do nothing about it because genetics did this. You know, the world's getting dark and there's nothing you can do to stop it except try to kill as many black people as you can. But
they're
doing a good job of that now, exactly. So ultimately what we have to deal with is the fact that these privileged characters have run out of excuses and they have to go back to making shit up. Like this replacement theory, like, oh, the black people are going to replace us. Black people are going to replace you anyway, you dumbass, you're recessive. There's less of you because that's how the world was made.
Your
genetics
vote,
will tell
vote.
You that.
The three-bitch vote. Okay, the three-bitch vote is in the Constitution, correct?
Yes.
The three-bitch vote should be deleted from the Constitution.
I agree.
They won't do that. You know why? Because I want you to pay attention. I want you to pay attention here.
Mm-hmm.
What happened 2 weeks ago in Washington at the Supreme Court, guess what? They can do that with the three-bit vote.
Yeah,
they can do that with Voters' Rights Act. They can
do that
with the Civil Rights Act. I'm telling y'all, pay attention.
Now, Gary, it was already done with the Voting Rights Act. The Voting Rights Act has been neutered. It has literally no power. There's the kind of stuff, the kind of dick dastardly stuff that's going on in Texas, in Georgia, in other states that were under the aegis of the Voting Rights Act, and the reason why it was invented now, that were going on before. History has just repeated itself. They're just trying to say a nice way of saying, your black ass can't vote. It's going to be more difficult. Let me see your identification. You say your name's Gary Norris Gray? Okay. Where are you from? New Jersey? Okay. Well, where's your driver's license? I don't drive. Well, we need an official non-driver's license so that Gary can vote.
There you go.
You know, it's stuff like that.
My great-grandmother, God bless her, my great-grandmother, wanted to vote. She wanted to vote. She could not vote. You know why?
Why?
Because she had a seventh-grade education. That's why she can vote. What did they do? They gave her an IQ test. Well, it's great. You know what happened with that, right?
That's right. But that's no different. That's
I mean,
no different.
This whole thing, I'm telling you, you know, when you see a hurricane coming, you see a hurricane way out there in the Atlantic Ocean. You see it coming, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do? You get prepared for it, right? You back up
your
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm
bathtub of water. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
America ain't ready. They ain't ready. They are not ready.
America is not just not ready. They refuse to fill the bathtub up with water. They refuse to get provisions to prepare for it. They already know that if they get the outcome they're expecting, well, there'll be more black people by whatever year it'll be. And what will they do about this then? You know, will they be forced to give reparations up? Will they be forced to do other things that will say, oh, gee, we're sorry? No, they can give a rat's ass about that. Rather than
share society,
they would rather destroy it.
I believe what you say, because I remember I was in college.
Mm-hmm.
I was in college. I learned about two things. Here I am, 21 years old.
Okay.
And the first time I ever heard about Juneteenth, I go to North Carolina to see my cousin. We had a conversation about Juneteenth.
Yeah.
My cousins were 3, 4, 5 years younger than me.
Yep.
And they knew. They knew. Why?
Yep.
Because black teachers told them that. Right.
Yeah, right.
That's why.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm glad you said that because you brought up something totally different. Now, we know in this country, most of the textbooks that go in the schools are made in Texas. I don't know why, but that's where most of them come from. Now, what do you think a textbook will look like to our grandkids and our great-grandkids when they're on the desk, you know, Obama, hold on. Well, hold on a second. Look at the information that they would have to cover. And if it's not in there, then we would have to say, oh, what in the ham sandwich, to quote our brother Reggie, is going on? seriously. You know, you have Obama's election, you have the changing of the guard with the first black Supreme Court justice, who's a female. You got other stuff, and now they're going to try to say that slavery was a permanent jobs program. You know, you don't want to say slavery. You supposedly other euphemisms are going to be eliminated because of something called critical race theory. You know, you got other crap that they don't want to account for that they want eliminated so that the book will be whitewashed and it won't offend white sensibilities. That's a crock of shit. And we all know it. But if you're making the book and the books are going to go in the schools, you have some other privileged character who is going to allow that you put these whitewashed versions of these books in schools. You're going to allow that teachers are not going to be able to talk about them. Now, they'll give you Juneteenth because it's been made a national holiday, but they won't really go into why Juneteenth was a holiday. You know, they won't even go so far as to tell you that Joe Tex is the only artist to write a song about Juneteenth. But it doesn't matter. The whole point is, this society, this white supremacist society, is going to make sure that the deck remains stacked so that only white people benefit from this. And that hasn't changed in up years, and it's not going to change
going
in
to.
Years to come.
I'm going to.
No. No.
Get back into the sports scene here.
Yes.
And the Oakland Raiders. I get ready to do it again. No second Raiders. And San Jose Sharks made history this week.
Mm-hmm.
The Oakland Raiders
say it's about time. But kudos to the Raiders. Now, what I want from them is to follow through. I don't care about a black quarterback if they don't have the chance to follow through on the opportunity. Now, the Raiders drafted Eldridge Dickey, and they drafted LaMarcus Russell with good intentions. But they fell through on both of these actions because, one, Al Davis screwed himself by not allowing the best man to play in Dickey's case, and then Russell screwed himself by underachieving, severely underachieving, when he became the Raiders quarterback.
Russell had a medical issue with the Raiders did not deal with it. I feel bad with that because they didn't investigate that.
We know that, but the fact is they didn't do anything about it. And if we're going to be honest about it, all of these teams have all their little research departments where they do their homework, and they'll say, well, you know what? We can draft Gary Gray because he's a good citizen. He can play ball. You know, we don't have to worry about him at 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, we'll draft him. So it's that kind of mindset. And to go to the San Jose Sharks thing, Mike Greer has earned his opportunity. He actually comes from a situation where his father, Bobby, was a general manager in New England. He was an exec in that kind of capacity. And if the San Jose Sharks turn out to be a microcosm of Mike Greer's mindset, they'll be a tough-minded team who skates hard, they'll muck, and they'll grind, and they'll always be in every game. So the talent that the Sharks draft will be reflective of that, and that's not a bad thing in hockey. Because he's going to stay in Minnesota for another 2 years. I agree with you saying San Jose's history of goaltenders has not been good. Martin Jones was the best one, but Martin Jones was streaky at best. There were times where Martin Jones was a world beater. He'd be playing out of his mind. But there were also times where Martin Jones would let in 3 or 4 goals.
I score.
Yeah, within a minute. And, you know, he was moved on to the Flyers where he did exactly what I just said. So San Jose either will have to spend 2 or 3 years to really grow one, or they'll have to spend a lot of money and overpay for one. Now, what the Rangers did was interesting in getting Shesterkin. You know, they had him on ice for a couple of years. You know, Lundqvist probably overstayed his welcome a couple of years. And
yes, he did.
Right. But with Shesterkin, the Rangers made it all the way to late in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And only lost to a better team. So if San Jose is going to get this right, they need an ass-kicking goaltender before they need anything else. You know, defense wins championships. We know this. Now we got to go all the way back to the Florida Panthers because not the ones who just played, but the earlier versions of them, when that asshole John Van
Beesbrook.
Yeah, when that asshole Van Beesbrook was playing goalie for them. he's an asshole, but he was a good goaltender. And they made their bones on defense. They stayed. They played a defensive game. And when they did make it to the playoffs, they rode a wave of popularity with the Rats. And
I like that.
When they got the fans into it. And that was cool. I mean, I appreciate that. But you need a defense. You can't win without a goaltender. Ask the Edmonton Oilers, who were loaded with offense, and Mike Smith won a couple of series, but when it came down to it, he just wasn't good enough.
What happened to Eric Lindros? What happened to Anthony Concussion thing? What happened to him?
Eric Lindros, after his concussion and after the series with the Devils when Scott Stevens rocked his world, ended up playing briefly with the Islanders, I remember, right? If it was the Islanders or the Rangers. He was playing with one of the New York teams.
That's right, the Rangers, that's right.
Yeah, that didn't last long, and then he was off into obscurity. But the fact was, it did not matter that he was 6'4" and this big strapping kid. The concussions had softened him up significantly.
Wow. Those were the good days with the Flyers and the Rangers and the Devils.
Those were good old days as I wear my John LaCroix jersey. I used to love that Legion of Doom stuff. It was fun, and it was also good hockey. But you know what? Since those days, hockey has really grown up, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Not only have they've cleaned up their game, the skill levels have been improved. Everybody appreciates the postseason action, you know? They've corrected some things. They righted some wrongs by putting Herb Carnegie in the Hockey Hall of Fame. You know, they've taken care of the fact that now there are three times as many black players in hockey as there are in baseball. Think about that. That's embarrassing. You know, the grand old game, fun to a bunch of brothers across the border, you know. So hockey really is for everyone, or at least they're making people believe that there's some truth to that. In Canada, hockey ain't no thing. It's culture. Everybody plays hockey. You know, and that's how they want it to be. But here in the States, it's a whole other story. So if San Jose is going to get it right, Mike Greer, who we know is a smart dude, who we know is an old school dude in terms of playing hockey the old-fashioned way, he hopefully will find the commensurate talent needed to make the San Jose Sharks a formidable opponent again.
I was the rule. I call it the Martin Brodeur rule. Where the behind the goalie is a red line. You can't. I still have mixed emotions about that because I need to go easy because I was to do the 80 he wanted to do behind the goal behind the net.
Well, the reason there is that rule is because of Sean Avery. Charlie was an asshole. He was an agitator, and he was one of those players that if he's a teammate, he might be an asset, but if he's not, he's a liability. But he took it a different level because there were guys like him before him, like Matthew Barnaby and Kenny Linsman, you know, guys who were, it stirred a pot, they'd poke the bear in terms of how they played. Sometimes their play might be considered a little chippy. But what Avery did was truly wrong, because he would mess with the goaltender from behind the net. And just like in the movie Slapshot, he might be saying things about the goalie's mama or who she slept with or whatever the hell was going on, and cause the problem to exacerbate. However, we don't see that in the league now, because it's just a given. You know, you don't do that. And a lot of teams have begged off of that. And it was only because Sean Avey was with the Rangers that he did that shit. Excuse me, not with the Rangers. Did he play with the Rangers? That's right, he did play with the Rangers. Forgive me. He was stirring the pot.
Yeah, he played the Rangers. He messed with
That's right. He was messing with Brodeur to such a level that Brodeur lost his cool. And given what he was doing, I would almost say you couldn't blame him for doing some of that stuff. The guy would have fucked him up. I wish it were him. But this is also part of hockey's progress, because they fixed the problem that was an in-house issue to improve the game. And it worked. It wasn't no fanfare needed. There was just like, all right, you can't do this. And that was that. It was enforced, and you didn't get away with it anymore.
I'm gonna move on to baseball. Coach Sanders, I will not call Coach Brian. His name is Leon Sanders. And he is Coach Sanders to me, okay? As he's gonna be.
I agree.
Coach Sanders said, we can have a go about why African Americans do not play baseball. And he played his clip about 5 or 10 minutes, and we'll get back to our conversation.
Okay.
Simultaneously. Wow. So I've been Coach Prime. The world is just getting the opportunity to see me exercise my gift.
Yes, sir, man. You already know what's going on. Another great episode of High Goes Down podcast with your boy David Baines, and can't forget the one and only Pauley.
I always ask that. People always ask where he at, all that good stuff, man. But I got a special guest today. This is, man, I'm just shocked to have him. I'm very humbled to have him. A father first, a coach. Y'all got to put that out. He's a coach now. Because I saw the other things that went on. He's a coach now. And y'all, put some respect on his name. He's a coach now. Coach Prime, you know what I'm saying? A person that doesn't change. He changed the game. He started the game from the jury. You know what I'm saying? Running them 4-2-40s. You know, doing the things that's going on right now, from the swag to the high step in. Y'all know y'all got that fun. Y'all make some noise. Out there, type in the comments, all that good stuff. But the one and only, Coach Prime, is in the
I appreciate it. Yes, you know what, from now on, wherever I go, I'm bringing you to introduce me. I like to come out like that. I was waiting for the smoke, and I'm just waiting to dance. I'm just waiting to hit my dance the way you brought me up, man. I appreciate
it. Hey, Coach.
Love you. I've been watching you for a while, man. And I love the growth, the climb, the journey.
Yeah.
I love the timing. All of that, man. You make us smile, and that's what we need in our country. We need to smile a little more.
Oh, definitely, man. You know, that's what it's about. You know, but like I said, man, it's good to have you here, man. Somebody that has changed the culture of, I would say, of football.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not just black college football. You changed the game of football. You brung a whole nother eye to this sport.
Okay. You know? I can't find where it is like that. But what he said was,
well,
my
what I like.
Father played baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore,
yeah.
I played baseball.
So did I.
Today,
No. If you and I were kids back in the day, we likely would have been playing baseball. You know, we'd have been flipping cards and playing stickball and all the other stuff that goes with it. But now, from a popularity standpoint, we would probably be out there on your street, down there, playing touch football. Maybe playing basketball.
My Michael, we played wheelchair baseball, right?
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's how popular baseball was. No, you don't see it. But then again, do you really think that anybody would be playing wheelchair baseball now? And I'm not thinking about back in the 60s. I'm thinking about based on the popularity of sports now, would you and your friends be playing wheelchair baseball now?
No.
See?
No, because I wasn't even interested in it.
Exactly.
Baseball is killing itself. It's killing itself because they wanted to be a 3-hour, 4-hour game. I am not going to sit there for 3 hours. I'm not
going to
do it.
No. But you got to also remember this. When you watch a baseball game, if a baseball game is a pitcher's duel and it's running into a 3-hour time frame.
Oh, now we got a game. Now it's a pitcher's duel.
Yeah. Though, see, to some, that might seem really interesting. To some others, though, that might seem really boring. They would say, you know, well, turn the channel. The football game's on, you know, because they relate to seeing folks run around and hit and catch and run with the ball a lot easier than they do the baseball down. Baseball had the advantage of being the nation's pastime. It had the advantage of affecting our culture to such a degree that we wanted to play baseball, and the want to makes all the difference in the world. I had to always come to grips with whether or not I wanted to watch the Bugs Bunny Roadrunner Hour at 12 o'clock, or go outside and play baseball. That was true, you know. And more often than not, I went out and played baseball. But as the years went by. Yeah, then it was like, oh, you know what? Bugs Bunny Road Hour and Roadrunner sounds better because there weren't as many people getting ready to get on the block and get down to play. So there you go. You stayed in and you watched the cartoons.
Well, and also, what Brian said, or Mr. Sanders said, was a guy get a ball.
Basketball, I don't need to see if 5 or 6 of the dudes in the neighborhood are going to get up. You know, I can take a ball and go down to the hoop. And even if it's like that, I can shoot by myself. You know, I don't need to spend money on a bat or glove. You know, it's like nothing. You know, it's cost effective. So, from that standpoint alone, basketball proves to be a better alternative.
But we being elders, are going to have to redirect these kids to baseball. Here's why I say this.
Okay.
I was growing up in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
The one position that needed players was catching.
Right.
Now, back in the 60s, there were many, many, many black catchers.
That's right, there were.
And baseball got wise. It said, oh, wait a minute. Kenzie is a prime, excuse my expression, but prime position, okay?
Sure, that's right.
It was a leadership position.
That's exactly right.
So when the 80s and 90s came around, guess what? You didn't see black kids anymore.
That's right. People started to make the connection that you're calling balls and strikes.
It's just as important
as being on the center, calling the play. So even if baseball didn't do it, it was understood that if you're a catcher, it's important because you've got the direct hand and the flow of the game. You're telling you, Mike, we want the ball low and inside. You know, you're starting to get wild and high. You know, you catch your taps you on the head and goes back to work, and I got to throw the ball low and inside in order to be effective. So,
Michael,
yeah.
Also, have you noticed?
Mm-hmm.
All the recent new managers in baseball are catchers. You know that?
Yeah, because they understand. Well, they should understand.
Kansas City, Oakland, San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
Where else? I think there are 8 or 9 catchers in the Masters now.
Well, I'm sure our brother Tony could riff on this better than I could. But the whole point is, yes, a catcher is thinking the game all the way through, even when they're not behind the plate. So it would stand the reason that a catcher could be a good selection in terms of leadership for your team as a manager.
Unbelievable. It's like, Michael, it's just so crazy. Everything that we do, They try to undermine.
This craziness. Well, they didn't plan on black people exceeding expectations because there were zero expectations for us. You know, to go back to your whole diatribe on the Constitution, we were 3/5 of a human being. We're still seen that way. We're still seen that way. In many aspects of society. They may not say it out loud. They may gloss over it. They may try to use humor to disguise the fact that they resent that black people have endured all this shit and still found a way to make their own way and succeed. And I bring this up because when I heard about what happened to Brittany Griner, I was like, you stupid bitch. And I'm saying it just like that because you know better. You were raised to know. And now the trial has happened. She said she pleads guilty and that she inadvertently stuck those vape cartridges on her person. Now, I can dig all that. Okay, she's throwing herself at the mercy of the court. The problem is, it's a Russian court, and there's no mercy because she's going to be made a very political chip. And the thing that works my nerve most and makes me get my hair up with the barbershop moment is the coach of her team, the Phoenix Mercury, had the nerve to say, well, you wouldn't do LeBron like this. LeBron wouldn't be in that situation. LeBron wouldn't be stupid enough to put drugs in his person or on his person, and he would respect the rules before even leaving the door. So say what you want about the cash cow. Say what you want about the cash cow, but he's no dummy. And I resent the fact that somebody comes in with a lot of feminist claptrap and say, is LeBron's fault that he's a man, that he would be able to get away with it and he wouldn't be arrested, you know, which is what she's implying with Brittany Griner. And it's like, you know, sometimes you just have to say you're wrong. You know, logic is just like a baseball game. Three strikes, you're out. Did you do wrong, Brittany? Yes. Strike one. Black or white? Are you black, Whitney? Brittany? Yes. Strike two. Are you gay, Brittany? Yes. And I'm married. Strike three. Your black ass is out. You have no say in the matter. As soon as you admitted that you were wrong, everything spiraled down from there. And that's where the gist of this problem lies.
I could say any better than that. Okay, my next thing is, are you gonna go back to Russia again? Next question. The WNBA need to do a better job. Any of these girls don't have to go nowhere.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, and then
the NBA is part of this problem too.
Right. Oh, no, she's going to say.
Okay, here's an example of this. You have the LA Sparks playing in the same court as the LA Lakers and LA Clippers. Why don't you piggyback off of each other? You got an LA Laker game going on. Well, why don't you, before the game or after the game, have a LA Sparks game right there? Okay? Number one,
Gary,
you save money.
Yeah, you preach it to the choir, because I've advocated for this for years. You know, you can make it a whole family evening with a basketball doubleheader.
Thank
you know,
you.
Have the ladies play first or second. It don't matter. The whole point is there'd be a full gym. The athletes would all be jacked that, you know what, hey, we're going to play in front of 17,000 people right on. You know, we're going to get our best effort out. And everybody makes money. Home teams make money. There's better salaries for the players. You know, instead of spitting these sour grapes out like that cow the Phoenix Mercury coach did. You're like, don't be trying to blame the fact that women's basketball ain't as popular here. You haven't generated the market. But forget it. There are some women's college programs where you do well. In the WNBA, you got maybe one or two franchises, the Seattle team, you know, that actually market it and said, okay, we admit it. A lot of the people who attend our games, they might be gay. So let's market to them. Make them feel at home. Come to the game with your girlfriend. Maybe there's a discount. All that shit. They look to understand what or who their market is, and they worked within it. You can't hate on that. That's just good business. But still, in the midst of all of this, you have this resentment where, well, we should be getting just as much money as men do. No, you shouldn't, because you're not generating that kind of popularity. If the Sparks and the Mercury can put 17,000 people in the house consistently, more power to them. yes, give them more money. If they can't, shut the fuck up and deal with the reality of the fact that the women's pro game just isn't as popular as the men's pro game. Next question.
Well, Igor, what the women, what the women's soccer team who deserves more money than the men, and they will not get it. So yeah,
Women's soccer has gotten to the point where they are playing a superior game to the men.
That's right.
In this country. You got programs in the U.S., Japan, maybe Germany. We already know Brazil plays on that level. But their game is on a high level, you know? So if you've won X number of World Cups over a certain amount of years, you deserve the right to have more money in your pocket.
Yes.
You've earned it. You did the work. Yes, get the credit. Megan Rapinoe, everybody else there, congratulations.
Yep.
Go cash those checks, ladies. That's
yes,
your money.
Sir.
You earned it. You're making it. But don't give me that same bullshit with basketball. You haven't earned it. It doesn't work. You know, women's basketball and women's soccer are two different things. And if you got to start talking about equity, then say, all right, when women's bank books and the front office accounts of how much the teams are worth match the men's, then you got an argument. Until then, shut the fuck up.
Basketball is beginning to move in the right direction. With Sabrina, what's her name from Oregon?
Yes.
That woman, I think, is going to change the game.
She might.
Because of
the way
she plays.
She might, but the point is, they're not there yet, G. You know,
I see a bright light.
I would love to see the women making more cash in the NBA. You know, that's fine. You know, you're generating more money. You deserve more of the pot.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing wrong with that. But don't sit there crying and talking about you're not making as much money as the men. You ain't making any money.
Well, I'm going to be right straight with you. Brittany Griner goes to a foreign country.
Mm-hmm.
You know what the rules are. You know what the laws are.
Thank you.
You know what to do and what not to do in that country.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If I go to Korea, I'm gonna do what the Koreans do. I'm not gonna fool around.
That's right.
And because I'm black, you know I'm not gonna fool around.
You know you're not going to bless it. Exactly right. Well, yeah. That's right. Okay, more kimchi, please. Thank you. I don't know about nothing, but I'm not going to sit around here and cause a problem. I'm going to do what I was hired to do, and I'm going to get the hell out of there. You know, Brittany knew. See, and that's what I don't like. Being a privileged character. Hold on. Being a privileged character, whether you're white or black, is a problem for me because you're taking advantage. And it's rare when a black person can take advantage of a situation. So, you know, why even bother with the premise? Just don't worry about it and carry on with the sense that you got a job to do. If you're paid to do that job, do it. And then when you're done, either stay or take your ass on home and, you know, live with your life with the money that you made and say, if this is really what I love, I have to deal with this every year. Do I want to deal with the having to go back abroad in order to make more money, or do I deal with the fact that I'm one of a select few that might make six figures playing my sport in my home?
My question goes right back to WNBA. Why don't you pay these girls?
Listen,
I remember the first professional women basketball league.
Mm-hmm.
My sister was part of that league. And she told me that their paychecks were late. Their games would be changed.
Yep.
And there were two ladies in that league that could have helped facilitate the continuation of that league.
Right.
No. They wanted to get paid. You know who they are.
Yeah, you said Carol Blaze, Jowski, and Ann Myers. And I remember Ann Myers. I remember Ann Myers getting that trial with the NBA. And, yeah, she was good, but she knew she wasn't that good. And if it was going to be told honestly, she couldn't compete with them on that level. And that's okay. But don't sit there and try to say, I deserve my money if your skills don't generate those bills.
But Michael, why would you destroy it?
No, because it's personal ambition. You know, personal ambition is linked to everybody. You know, I can't understand. Carol Blaze Jowski could shoot her ass off. But even Carol knew, okay, I can't play with the guys. Ann Myers was fundamentally a decent player. But she's 5'7", and she knew, I can't play with these guys. And all I'm saying here is, for the women's game to succeed, you must play to the level of your game and beyond that. And even at their best, Blaze, Jowski, and Myers did not play beyond the women's game. They were not transcendent. You know, they were just very good players. And maybe they were born in the wrong time. I don't know. My whole point is... Denise had sense. She knew what the hell was going on.
Oh, she was not happy camera.
You know, I didn't get to see Denise play, but I can know for what Immaculata did back in the day, she had to be good. But having said that, still, women's professional basketball has gained a leap forward. Now you got players getting decent money. You know, so decent money is decent money. If you want to make really decent money, some of you will go to Europe. Some of the prices are dictating that over there. Now, no problem there. You know, Becky Hammon went to Russia and played and was actually a member of the Russian basketball team. We had no beef there, you know. But Becky Hammon was behaving herself, too. She understood the laws, you know. You can't make an exception for Brittany Griner. I will not make an exception for stupid because it's black. And that's exactly what she's trying to say about
it. He tried to get away. I know she tried to get away with that. And that's why I give yourself a hurt.
Yeah. No. You know, it's too late for, oh, boo-hoo, you know, I'm scared now. When you thought, well, it ain't no big deal. Let me just say, if you really wanted to smoke, if you really wanted to vape, and you've been over there 4 years,
what
can you get fucking home? Exactly. You know, it's like, okay, I can't smoke till I get home. No problem. Come off the airplane, I go to the vape store, I load up, and I smoke away. And
I'm glad you said that.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is the attitude. This is the attitude that Ding Dong brought forth. You know what I'm talking about, Ding Dong?
Yeah.
Ding Dong allowed people to be idiots.
Yeah.
And all over the country now, we got idiots. And they're allowed to be on TV now. They're allowed to be in commercial now. They're allowed to run for public office now. They're allowed to get arrested in foreign countries for stupid stuff.
That's exactly right. You can't fix stupid. And you really can't fix it if you're black and stupid. You know, listen. As soon as they caught her with that, she knew her fate was sealed because they know we can play her like an air guitar and get what we want. Oh, we got a bad guy who's in the joint because he was selling arms to other people. Yeah, right. We'll eventually trade him for her straight up. And who's this other white guy in jail who's been in jail 4 years? How long is Trump in office? Trump knew about this motherfucker. You know? Yeah, exactly. So Putin and Trump had this handshake thing going on. You know, the guy wasn't going to make no waves. And the only reason he's making waves now is because he knows a black female was arrested for drugs. And now he can ride her coattails to get out. If Brittany hadn't gotten busted, the guy would still be in jail. We wouldn't know nothing about him, and he would be like, da 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 da, boom, he's in jail. Simple as that, you know. But now he sees hope. So he knows he's got to ride her coattails in order to get out. And he's a white guy, so of course, oh, please, help me, I'm a white guy.
He'll be out.
Exactly. If he was black, oh, your black ass is going to stay in there forever, you know. And now you have a little black playmate to drink with you. No, I'm serious. You know, it's fucked up to say it. Sorry, Mom.
Yeah.
But that's true. And they know it's true.
Where was I going with this? Oh, the Yankees. The Yankees are the best. Michael, I don't know about the East Coast. I wish I was there to see this. The New York Yankees and the New York Mets are blowing people up. Literally blowing people up.
Yep.
I want people receiving this in Philadelphia, Baltimore, and Boston. How are they doing with this?
Well, even as bad as baseball has been in terms of popularity, it's a little better now because the New York teams, the East Coast teams are doing well.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at the baseball map from East to West, the Dodgers can always play well. The Giants play well. If the Giants and the Dodgers and the Padres are playing well, okay. If the
Giants,
Padres, and Angels are playing well, wow, there you go. But you're not going to get that kind of rise. East Coast is where it's at.
If Zoe Ohtani were an Angel or a Chicago Cub or a New York Giant, New York Yankee or New York Met, he would be a superstar. But
yeah, he
because
would.
He plays for the Angels, and the Angels will always be the second fiddle to the Dodgers. Nobody pays attention to this guy.
No, that's true. That's true. I remember when Hideki Matsui was playing for the Yankees. You know, they were making jokes about him being Godzilla. And whenever he batted, there are Japanese banners up for him, you know, rooting him on. And more often than not, he played well. Hideki had a good career. And his Yankee career was really good. He got his rings and all that. And, you know, bravo to him. But on the East Coast, we know what's going to happen. Yankees-Red Sox Sunday night. Yankees-Red Sox Sunday night.
Today and tomorrow.
There you go. Yankees-Red Sox Friday night. The mouse and the rat run baseball programming. And everything revolves around the fact that either the evil empire or the Red Sox will be given prominence in broadcasting. You rarely see the Phillies or any of the other teams. Atlanta has earned the right to get up there because Atlanta plays well.
And they won the World Series. So they got to get there, too.
The World Series. Exactly. The Washington team. You know, the Grays have played okay. And so the Grays, every now and then, will get their play as well. But East Coast-wise, Yankees, Red Sox, and everything else goes from there. And it doesn't matter whether both teams are playing well or both teams are playing lousy. That's the first thing they'll go to in the production truck.
Well, I think Major League Baseball made a major boo-boo when they renamed the Washington Nationals. That team, they could have made history if they had named that team the Washington Grays.
I agree.
The Homestead Grays.
Yep.
Home was in Washington, D.C. and Homestead, Florida.
Yep.
The Washington Homestead Grays killed the Washington, what was the name? Senators.
Oh, yeah.
They killed them at the box office.
I don't doubt that for a minute. I think the Washington Grays would have been selling the hottest merchandise in MLB. I got an old Washington Grays jacket. I mean, Homestead Grays jacket from back in the day when they were the Negro League champions in the 30s. But you think with what they had to offer, the Grays would have been kicking out all kinds of great merchandise.
Oh,
you know,
man.
Washington fans would have been wearing caps and jackets and stuff. You know, they'd have ate this up.
Well,
no, see, this is where the ignorance of Major League Baseball comes in. First, they bury the Negro League records. And then, as they lose popularity, they'll say, as they lose popularity, they're saying, well, we're going to add all these, actually, because you guys did the work, you know. So the Nationals could change their name from the Nationals to the Grays if they really wanted to. You know, they really could. Yeah, I mean, the Cleveland team changed their name to the Guardians, so why not? Now, I don't know if Guardians...
I got quickly adopted the
Okay. Well, it's not the other team's name, so it's like, what do you want?
Exactly.
So they said, like, oh, that's our concession. You know, look, how much can you expect from them? They changed the name, and now they're reaping the rewards of it. I don't know if there's more Guardians. All right, but before you get to that, I don't know whether or not Guardians merchandise is flying off the shelves, but in theory, the Cleveland Guardians don't sound bad. You know, I don't see anything wrong with it, you know, but what they use as a logo or whatever was not, we'd have to see what it looks like over the long haul, but the name change was not a bad thing.
Well, I adapted the name very quickly. I like the name. I don't think it's a bad name at all.
Okay.
Yeah. But the Washington name, I'm not warm to that at all.
Well, see, they're not worried about that because they weren't very high on the list of teams who were selling a lot of merchandise anyway. You know, they revel in the fact that where their location is. And I think, according to Forbes, they're worth like $5.5 billion now. I mean, just on sheer inflation alone, their name and the popularity of the team has grown. Remember, Snyder bought them for $800 million. He has made money on his investment at least five times over. So
they need to tell him, you need to sell this team.
But you can't tell them what to do. It's like, look, I'm a white guy. I changed the name of the team. So I gave in to the pressure. But ultimately, I'm still a white guy. I'm still rich. It's still my team. You know, fuck off. Which is basically what he's telling everybody. And he's still getting paid. So there's nothing he can do. And forget about what supposedly Goodell was going to do about his team behaving badly in the front office with the cheerleaders. What can you tell them?
Yeah.
Snyder and the rest of the owners pay his salary. You know, it's like, don't do this again. Don't be a bad boy. Stop. You know, you really can't tell them anything. You can't punish them.
Works
fine for me.
If it wasn't for my sorry New York Giants, it would be in last place.
That's okay. They got Carson Wentz. They're guaranteed to be in last place. And you know why? Because the boy is shit. That's all. Washington is doomed to be in last place, and I have no problem with that at all. Well, tomorrow night, the Big Bang Tournament continues with a nice matchup as the Impressions will go up against the Manhattans and Hal Melvin and the Blue Notes will go up against Lakeside. You know, continuing tournament. So we got some nice matchups. Mm-hmm. I was talking to a Soul Patroller early this afternoon. And I'm not a big Beatles fan, but when I was working for Gannett Newspapers, the Beatles had come out with a collection of their number one hits on CD. And I was asked what my favorite Beatles translation was. Now, my granddaughter, Masika, loved the song Blackbird, and she loved John Lennon. No problem with that. But my favorite Beatles translations were A Day in the Life by Wes Montgomery, jazz version, and what Lakeside is going to sing tomorrow night. Now, some fans may know the song, but you'll hear Lakeside sing it, and you can judge for yourself.
My favorite Beatles is Long and Winding Road. For some reason, that song
just
sticks in my brain forever.
The Long and Winding Road. Now, you know what? I always like The Fool on the Hill, and I think that Sergio Mendez made a version on that. He made a version of that in the 60s, which was interesting because they were copying a lot of folky music. They did Scarborough Fair and some other stuff, but Sergio Mendez was interesting. It's one of those groups that they would play on regular radio because they were pretty much harmless in terms of message or anything like that. The Impressions went out of their way to, you know, incorporate messages like "We're a Winner," "Keep on Pushing," et cetera, and "Choice of Colors." So the Impressions and the Manhattans, I think, will make for a nice matchup. So everybody come back tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Kick back, listen to some beautiful music, and then I know as we get into the second round, the Isleys and Earth, Wind & Fire and the Delphonics will definitely be even heard. And I'm looking forward to
it. We're going to be tag team.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that, brother. It should be a lot of fun. So, all the Soul Patrollers and Cold Caravan, if you're out there working and traveling and whatnot, we want you to go safe, stay safe, and be safe. We want you to get from A to B and back to A-OK. And we'll see you tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern, as the Big Break Tournament continues.
All right. Thank you, brother. We're going to take a break. Take a break now, but Mr. Franklin.
For those of you that think that gospel music has gone too far, you think we've gotten too radical with our message. Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory! Woo! You better put some hands together and act like you know up in here.
hateful, I'm grateful. The Lord brought me through this far. Trying to be cute when I praise him, raise him high. I keep it live, be bumping, keep him jumping. Make the Lord feel something. Ain't no shame in my game, God's property. Getting big with curse, ain't no stopping me.
Manoa against Roy Knighton. And the Chicago Cubs are in Los Angeles and they play the Dodgers. Stroman against Kershaw tonight at 7:10 Pacific Time. 10:10 on the East Coast. LPGA, last week they were off. This week is it. Now Great Lakes playing Potential. Last year to the Garden, this is win the tournament of Dow Great Lakes. Last week it was the PGA was the John Deere Classic in Silver, Illinois. J.D. Preston went wire to wire and beat South African Christian. This week, two tournaments, the Barbersaw Championship in Kentucky and the Guinness Scots Open in Canada. NASCAR, last week there was a Road America Kiwi trip to Windy with Tyler Reddick winning. This week they are Hampton, Georgia for the Quaker State 400. And Atlanta Motor Speedway. Next week will be New Hampshire and the Outbetter 301. IndyCar, that was a race in IndyCar 200 in Mid-Ohio. Scott McLean wins. This week they're off. Next week is the Canadian in Canada for the Honda Indy Toronto 350. Also tomorrow, Formula 1 will be the Austrian Grand Prix. Tomorrow morning, the Austrian Grand Prix for Formula 1. And I hope Mr. Hamilton gets to win at one race. In the middle of the season, Hamilton has yet to win a race. We will see. Well, I hope you enjoyed the show. Be back tomorrow. Tomorrow, go to Michael's contest tomorrow night at 6 Mississippi, 9 in the East. Great contest. Same bad time, same bad channel. See you next week. Good night.
And now to honor America, especially the brave men and women serving our nation in the Persian Gulf and throughout the world, please join in the singing of our national anthem. The anthem will be followed by a flyover of F-16 jets from the 56th Tactical Training Wing at MacDill Air Force Base and will be performed by the Florida Orchestra under the direction of Maestro Yaha Ling and sung by Grammy Award winner Whitney Houston.